Psalm 136. We will read the entire psalm, 26 verses. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, or unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And he brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto God, the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. We do not know the author of this psalm. We do not know the occasion of this psalm. As you read the psalm, as you hear it read, you cannot help but notice the repetition. It is the most repetitive psalm that there is. It is a repetitive song of praise. It repeats the same line at the end of each verse, for his mercy endureth forever, 26 times. That line, for his mercy endureth forever, if you look at the psalm, makes up about half of the lyrics of the psalm. However, that's not the subject of the psalm. The subject of the psalm is thanksgiving to the Lord. We see that in verses 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. O give thanks unto the God of gods. O give thanks to the Lord of lords. And then in verse 26, O give thanks unto the God of heaven. That's the subject of the psalm. The central point of concentration, of course, is His mercy. The spirit of the psalm is one of humility. Anytime you talk about mercy, you have to do so in humility and reverence and awe. The tone of the psalm is one of emotional thanksgiving and praise. Everything in the psalm is moving Godward, moving in the direction of God. It is a psalm of great solace. It is a psalm of summons. O give thanks. Four times, O give thanks. So again, it's a repetitive song of praise. And such ought to be our life, over and over and over again. Our subject this evening is a life of repetitive thanks and praise. Consider, first of all, just the call to give thanks. Again, the psalm begins with this exhortation, O give thanks. Each of the first three verses opens with those words, O give thanks. And then the last verse of the psalm opens with, O give thanks. Four times, O give thanks. Thanks is the expression or the act of gratitude and appreciation. To give thanks is an expression of gratitude or appreciation. So what is the grounds of this thanksgiving? O give thanks is the expression of an inward state, an inward condition. Notice over in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, the last three words of that verse, be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Thankful is the inward emotion, the inward feeling, the inward attitude, the inward spirit of giving thanks. It is that inward attitude of thanks. It is the inward attitude of gratitude and appreciation. Be ye thankful. It is a condition. It is a state of being. It is something that ought to permeate our being, our inner man. It is our makeup. It is our personal quality. It is a personal quality. Be ye thankful. Now notice Colossians 3, verse 17. And about three quarters of the way down, you see giving thanks. Giving thanks. Two different things. Be ye thankful. Giving thanks. Giving thanks is acting out the inward thankfulness. So it is be ye thankful, giving thanks. So the state of being comes before the act. You see, the act is always easier than the state of being. That's why so many of God's people want to just focus on the act, because that's a lot easier than the state of being. But that's why the act isn't done like it should be, because there's not the state of being. So you have a state of being, be ye thankful. You have the act, giving thanks. Now the state of being is necessary for the act to be true. So be ye thankful is really the bigger and root issue of giving thanks. That's bigger than the act, be ye. Be ye thankful is bigger than give thanks. It's the root issue of giving thanks. So both the inclination and the sincerity of giving thanks is grounded in be ye thankful. So here in the 136th Psalm, we're told to give thanks. That's the act. Preceding the act must be ye thankful. So this thanksgiving is grounded in thankfulness. It's grounded in a being of thankfulness. See, that's why, again, we've said this before, but people will say, I'm going to give thanks more often, but they don't, because that's not the problem. The problem is they're not thankful. If you're thankful, you'll give thanks. In this 136th Psalm, we want to see what this, be ye thankful, where is that grounded in? It must be grounded as well. Well, it's grounded in an awareness of God. And in the 136th Psalm, the psalmist has an acute awareness of God. He makes mention of Him either by name or by pronoun 41 times in this psalm. 41 times God is mentioned. God is acknowledged. There is an acknowledgement of God throughout the psalm. He is referred to in verse 1 as Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent one. It's His covenant and redemptive name. In verse 2, He's referred to as God. Hebrew word there is Elohim. He is the God of gods. It means He is the strong one. That's the emphasis. He is the strong one. In verse 3, He is Lord. Large case L, small case, the remainder. Meaning Adonai. He is the Lord of lords, or He is the master. And then in verse 3, or verse 26, He's God again, or El, E-L, of heaven. That is, He is the Most High. And then you have all the pronouns. Again, 41 times He mentions God. It only took us maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes to read the 26 verses. You imagine listening to someone talk for a minute or two and 41 times they mention God. That should tell you something. And that's what the psalmist does here. There is an awareness of God. There is an habitual awareness of God. And I believe this habitual awareness of God strengthens the inward emotion and feeling of thankfulness. You can't be that focused upon God, that aware of God, without being thankful. So this thankfulness has its ground in an awareness of God. It also has its ground in a spirit of humility. We see 26 times the word mercy. God holding back from us what we deserve. Again, where there is a realization of mercy, there is humility, which is a personal inward sense of unworthiness before God. It's an inward sense of insignificance. How many people really honestly feel they're unworthy before God? Not many. How many honestly feel that they're insignificant and have to depend upon God? That's what humility is. It's the antithesis of pride, which is the mindset, of course, of self-importance, self-centeredness, self-admiration, self-righteousness, self-gratification. This humility flows from and is the result of a constant awareness of God, and it strengthens thankfulness. We have to be thankful in order to give thanks. There is a spirit of contentment. In Colossians 3, verse 15, again, it's be ye thankful. And it's in the direct context of another state of being. Let the peace of God rule or direct and guide in your hearts. So this inward heart feeling of appreciation and gratefulness. This "be ye thankful" is connected to the peace of God ruling in our hearts, which of course is opposed to fretting and tumult of spirit and consuming cares. Someone who is not content is not thankful. Contentment and thankfulness go hand in hand, contentment being satisfaction. There is also a spirit of submission that is the grounds of this thankfulness. In the context of "be ye thankful," in Colossians 3, we read, in verse 16, "let the word of God dwell in you richly," or thoroughly. That is, do not resist God's communication. Do not resist God's instruction. Do not dismiss God's ways. You take a person who is a rebel against God. They're not thankful, and they're not going to give thanks. There has to be this spirit of submission as well. When self-will is more important than God's will, you're not going to be thankful. When our plans are more important than God's plans, we're not going to be thankful. And when we want to be in charge and to run our own life, we're not going to be thankful. So this thankfulness has to be grounded in these things. In the 136th Psalm, we're called upon to give thanks. And again, that is grounded in and presupposes a state of being. That state of being is, "be ye thankful." Thankful. Be ye thankful. That will keep us from a life of bitterness. A bitter person is not thankful. It will keep us from, or it will refocus our perspective. It causes us to focus upon God. It refreshes the heart. It enhances enjoyment. A thankful person is a joyful person. A thankful person is a happy person. It strengthens love to God and the desire to live for Him. So this call to give thanks in Psalm 136 is grounded in "be ye thankful." And "be ye thankful" is grounded in these other things that we've mentioned, an awareness of God, a humility, and so on. So what is the extent of this thankfulness and this thanksgiving? Well, in Colossians 3, verse 15 and verse 17, again, it's "be ye thankful," present tense, "giving," present tense, "thanks." So both statements, "be ye thankful," "giving thanks," are present tense. The state of being and the act are to be ongoing. Or the state of being and the act are to be the habit of our life. Our habit is to be thankful. Our habit is to be to give thanks. That's to be our habit. Now, a habit is a settled or regular tendency. It ought to be our settled and regular tendency to be thankful and then to give thanks. It is a settled or regular practice. It is a settled or regular inclination. Habits are hard to break because we're inclined to a certain way. And it ought to be our inclination to be thankful. It ought to be our inclination to give thanks. It ought to be our bent. A habit becomes our norm. So "be ye thankful" is to be our norm. Giving thanks is to be our norm. A habit is a well-worn path. And in this day when the well-worn path is fussing and fuming and all stressed out, our well-worn path is to be ye thankful and give thanks. So here we are in a day when we are in a powerfully thankless culture, constantly coming upon us. And in that day, thankfulness and thanksgiving is to be our life. That is to be our life. It's to be our habit. It's to be our well-worn path. So that's the extent. It's to be our life. Consider the recipient of the thanksgiving. In the 136th Psalm, verse 1, it is, "Give thanks unto the Lord." In verse 2, it is, "Give thanks unto the God of gods." In verse 3, it is, "Give thanks to the Lord." And in verse 26, it is, "Give thanks unto the God of heaven." He is the recipient of this giving of thanks. And then notice in verse 4, in the context of, "Oh, give thanks to Him." Verse 5, "to Him." Verse 6, "to Him." Verse 7, "to Him." Verse 10, "to Him." Verse 13, "to Him." Verse 16, "to Him." Verse 17, "to Him." Is there any doubt who the recipient of the thanksgiving is? Unto the Lord. To Him. So we're to be thankful. And then we are to express that thankfulness to God. Doesn't mean that we can't express thankfulness to people, but you better make sure you thank God first. Don't forget to thank God. Too many times people are thanked and God is left out. And He's the one that did it all. The people were just the tools He used. Then think of the manner of expressing thankfulness. How do we express this thankfulness? Well, we're told four times that we're to give thanks. To give thanks. We're to pass on our expression of thanksgiving to the Lord. We are to bestow it upon the Lord. We are to present it to the Lord. We are to communicate to the Lord gratitude and appreciation. And this proceeds from a desire, a personal desire and a personal willingness. The psalmist declared in Psalm 30, verse 12, Psalm 35, verse 18, "I will give thanks." I will. It means he's ready to do so. He has a desire to do so. Psalm 116, 17, a little more detail, he says, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving." I will offer. That speaks of, again, a presenting, a willingness, a readiness to do so. So the manner of giving thanks is we're to always be ready to do so. That's not a problem if you are thankful. It is a problem if you're not thankful. And we are to be ready to do so. Again, not a problem if we are thankful, but a huge problem if we're not. Now, when we think about giving thanks to God, that is a form of praise to God. We exalt God. We honor Him. We glorify Him. in giving thanks. This is the manner in which we should give thanks. We're to exalt Him. We're to honor and glorify Him. It means that we are ascribing worth to God. All our thanksgiving should be describing worth to God. It includes the spirit of admiration for God, and adoration, devotion toward God. It is a celebration of God. That's what praise is. It's a celebration of God. And one form of praise is to give thanks unto the Lord. That brings us to the reason for the thanksgiving. The reason for the thanksgiving. And that is seen throughout the 136th Psalm. It's introduced in verses 1 through 3 and verse 26 by the word for. Verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord for, because He is good. Verse 2, for His mercy endureth forever. Verse 3, O give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. Verse 26, O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. In verse 5, 6, 7, and 10, we see the reason for thanksgiving is stated by the word that. Notice verse 5. To Him that. What follows is something He's done and provides a reason for you and I to give thanks. Verse 6, to Him that. Verse 7, to Him that. Verse 10, to Him that. Again, what follows that is something God has done. So we're to give thanks to God for who He is. He's good. We're to give thanks to God for what He's done. And we see this again in verse 13, verse 16, and verse 17 by the word which. Verse 13, to whom, to Him which. Followed is something He has done. Verse 16, to Him which. Verse 17, to Him which. So there's reasons for thanksgiving. The truth is, if you have to think about reasons to thank God, you're in pretty bad shape. But we see several of the reasons listed throughout the psalm. We're not going to view each one. We'll just mention them. But in verse 1 and verse 26, we're to give thanks and praise because of who He is. Even if you think, and if you do, you do so erroneously. But even if you think that you have nothing in your circumstances to give thanks for, let's say that's true. It's not, but just say it is. You have every reason to thank God for who He is. Just who He is. Just the fact that He's God. You're to be thankful. And you're to thank Him. We're to give thanks and praise to God for what He's able to do. Verse 4. To Him who alone doeth great wonders. Even if He doesn't do a great wonder in your life, He does, but let's say you don't realize it. You give Him thanks for what He's able to do in your life. Even though He doesn't do it, you give Him thanks for what He's able to do. Because again, that declares the greatness of His person. Verses 5 through 9, He's giving thanks and praise for what God has done in creation. Thank God for what He's done in creation. Just look at creation, thank God. Thank God. Don't thank Mother Nature. She doesn't exist. You thank God. Give thanks and praise for His redeeming power. That's covered in verses 10 through 15. Talks about Israel being delivered from Egyptian bondage. You might pray for a loved one to be saved, and God may never save that loved one, but you thank God for His redeeming power that has saved others. Give thanks and praise for His providential dealings. And you see that in verses 16 through 22. He reviews the history of the nation of Israel, and He's giving thanks to God for His providential dealings. And then notice in verse 23 and 24, He gives thanks for God's grace in calamities. And then He gives praise and thanks for providing grace in verse 25. But notice verse 24, verse 23. He's just giving a general history. And then all of a sudden in verse 23 and 24, there's a shift. He's no longer giving a general history. He says, who remembered us. Now it's personal. In our lowest state. And in verse 24, and hath redeemed us from our enemies. So the subject, the exhortation, is to give thanks unto God. We must have proper grounding to do that, to make it be a habit of our life. And it ought to be our life. Just our life ought to be a repetition of praise and thanksgiving, or praiseful thanksgiving. That brings us to the deeper meaning of the reasons for thanksgiving. Went over the reasons for thanksgiving. But there's a deeper meaning in all of those reasons. Each verse of the psalm gives reason to give thankful praise to God. And each verse of the psalm gives the deeper reason for doing so. With each new verse, there's an attribute or work of God, or both, that is declared and celebrated. And then our souls are ushered into the deeper meaning of what God has done, for His mercy endureth forever. That's the deeper meaning behind everything that's mentioned 26 times. For His mercy endureth forever. Each verse in the psalm, 26 of them, is a line in the psalm. They're just a straight line in the psalm. 26 lines. 26 times this refrain, for His mercy endureth forever. And each time that is repeated in the light of who He is or what He has done, His mercy endureth forever. You cannot separate God's mercy and His love. So this is steadfast, ever-enduring love. When you think of mercy, you have to also think of God's long-suffering. God's patience with us. Again, because it's God withholding what we deserve from a holy God. 26 times, His mercy endureth forever. Someone talks to you for 2 minutes and mentions something 26 times, more than likely you're going to go away saying, that person's got dementia. But that's not the case here. Or you could go away and say, man, that person really thinks that's important. They stress that over and over and over. 26 times. The psalmist thinks it's important enough to repeat this glorious truth over and over. 26 times. What's he telling us? I believe he's telling us we need to dwell upon this truth. Again, God does great things for us. He does great wonders. But in every one of those, you have this: His mercy endures forever. Because we don't deserve any of them. His mercy endureth forever. 26 times. And with each repetition, the meaning of it is not lessened. I believe the meaning grows. The more he mentions it, his mercy endureth forever. You and I, eventually we get our eyes glaze over and it loses meaning. But that's not what this is. I believe it's increasing in meaning. And when we think of who God is and we think of what God has done in our lives, and then you put it all in the bigger picture of His mercy, the meaning of that ought to increase, not to decrease. 26 times His mercy endureth forever. And I believe it, with each repetition, there is a fervency in His words. He becomes more and more passionate each time. Now, if I repeat something to you 26 times in a minute and a half, 2 minutes, it becomes mundane to most people. But there's nothing mundane about this. His mercy endureth forever. It ought to grow in its wonder. Each time it ought to become more intense. Each time it ought to become more deeply felt. So when you think about when God blesses you and you're aware of it, God blesses us every day. Many of God's blessings we don't even recognize as blessings. We recognize them as trials, but they're blessings. But that's another subject. But each time you think of God's blessing, whatever you conceive God's blessing to be, that doesn't matter at this point. But when you think of God's blessing, remember the deeper meaning. There's a greater truth. His mercy. His mercy. When you think of God's blessing, and you're thankful and you give thanks, that's a good thing. But when you view that in the bigger picture of His mercy, then thankfulness and thanksgiving takes on a whole new meaning. It begins to grow. So I believe the goal of the psalm, again, this is the most repetitive psalm there is. And I believe the goal is to help us feel afresh the meaning of those words, His mercy endureth forever. I believe the goal is for you and I to enter into the depth of those words. Don't be afraid to enter into the depths of Scripture. Don't be afraid to enter into the depths of the attributes of God. It won't hurt you. Oh, it'll change your life, but it won't hurt you. And enter into the depths of His mercy. I mean, think about His mercy. And you think about, again, all the times the word mercies is in the Bible, plural. The mercy of God is manifold, we read in 1 Peter. God displays His mercy in so many ways to you and I. Where there's grace, there's mercy, and vice versa. But we ought to feel afresh His mercy endureth forever. We ought to enter into the depths of His mercy endureth forever. That should be our life. Always feeling that truth. His mercy endureth forever. Always entering into the depths of that truth of who God is and what God does. And that is in the bigger picture of His mercy. So it is living a life of repetitious praise and thanks. Or giving thanks with praise. And again, we saw in verse 23 and 24 that the psalmist moved from history to personal experience. You can look at history and you see the mercy of God. But you ought to be able to look at your life and see the mercy of God on every hand. Again, we need to grow in our personal experience of the mercy of God. Look for repetitions in the Word of God when you're reading a passage of Scripture. They're there for a reason. And 26 times we have it repeated here. That's for a reason. It's not just that the writer got bored and just kept writing the same thing. Not because he couldn't think of anything else. There's some truth to that, though. He couldn't. He was so focused. But our lives should be a life of repetitious thanks and praise. Entering deeper into the depths of His mercy. And what that does is it feeds. The deeper you enter into the depths of His mercy, the more thankful you become. And the more thankful you become, the more you give thanks to the Lord. So may this psalm, this 136th psalm, be our life. That our lives would be marked by this. And I would encourage you to think deeply upon the mercy. The mercy of God. You cannot think of the mercy of God without thinking of your sin. And then when you start thinking about how awful sin is, I mean, when you really, you just start dissecting everything, God's mercy just keeps growing and growing. It just gets richer and richer, and that feeds that thankfulness. And that Thanksgiving. Brother Jim, if you'd come later.